Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Hey, it's possible now that I've broken the ice on this idea of doing sports episodes that I'll be more timely. On my big important topics, I tend to not worry about timeliness. I think about it when I think about it. Sometimes they're somewhat timely, but they're never, "What did somebody say today? I've got to respond quickly." Like, that becomes to me a little bit too superficial sometimes. I do think that's important, but for me, it's just not my style. My style is to go, you know, find things that maybe not everybody's talking about, and or if they're talking about kind of recently, to find the nuance that I find. But anyway, as to sports, today the big topic and timely is Tush Push has not been outlawed.
Why, it was close to being outlawed, but it needed,
25 owners and only had 24, even though the competition committee and the safety committee recommended against keeping it. And some thoughts on that. That include what is Jalen Hurts, the Tush Push generally, and maybe some other things. So for Jalen Hurts, for me, an important distinction here for me, and really a question more than distinction, is what is Jalen Hurts? So now that he's won a Super Bowl, on the one hand, you can say he's the second most accomplished young quarterback in the Mahomes era, right? And what I mean by that is you've got Stafford and you've got Brady in the Mahomes era. Other than that, there has been nobody else who even made the AFC, the Super Bowl from the AFC, except for one who lost. That's Burrow, great quarterback, but not more accomplished than Mahomes. And so then you would look at the NFC side and you would say, now Jalen Hurts is the most accomplished. Because not the San Francisco quarterbacks, because it was two different quarterbacks. He's gone there. He's gone to two. He's won one. He went head-to-head with Mahomes. And I know it's really teams go head-to-head, not the quarterbacks. But nonetheless, you slayed that dragon, and you beat the heck out of it, just like Tom Brady did. So second most accomplished quarterback, because of that, people are now giving him his due, and you know he's got a big contract. And people are now going, Pro Football Focus puts him in the second tier above Stroud. Does he belong in the second tier above Stroud? If you would you take Stroud, and I'm not saying the next 10 years, but let's say even in the next 5 years, would you take Stroud over, would you take Hurts over Stroud? If it was apples to apples and you could bring him to the same situation, I'd say you would not. But in place with the conditions the way they are, yeah, Hurts is great. And so my comp potentially, not to be hot takey, but just because I think it's an interesting question, what is he? Where is he? And part of that is, how would you take him? And then part of that is, you know, nature versus nurture. His existing inherent value versus where he is, right? So in this argument, nurture is the organization. Everybody would say that outside of Buffalo and Kansas City, you'd put those top three, I would think. If I had to put top three, Detroit's getting there. Maybe, but you'd go Buffalo, Kansas City, Philadelphia for organizations, and I could be missing them, but those are certainly, they're in the same tier, and maybe there are others in that tier. Great organization. Went to the Super Bowl 3 times in what, 9 years, 8 years? Won 2 of them? Great organization. And so, does that mean he's Burrow? Is Hurts Burrow, Mahomes, Allen? My answer, not only no, but heck no. But in the specific value to his team and the environment he's in, he's incredibly valuable. But if you were to take Hurts and throw him onto any other team, unless they learned how to do the tush push and went all in on the way to use Hurts, does he win a Super Bowl or come even close? I mean, granted, you can still do this nature versus nurture article. I might rather argument. I might get to it in this episode if I remember. For Mahomes, you can absolutely do that. And I think it's fair to do that. Is Mahomes the same quarterback in another organization? Of course it's fair. And you could argue he's not, and maybe not even close. But you'd still probably argue, well, there's no doubt Mahomes, if you got a capable offensive, traditional quarter, offensive coordinator in a traditional system, Mahomes is still going to do quite well. It's just a matter of how his career started. Would it be too sloppy? Well, maybe we'll make that argument. But back to Jalen, where is he in another system? Specifically, when we go back to Tush Push, how important was that to their success? Now, give them all the credit in the world. They beat my Chiefs' ass and won the Super Bowl and went to another Super Bowl and almost won with Jalen Hurts. So I am not dismissing Philly in the least as far as using, you know, what they had in-house effectively and developing the skill and practicing it. They should get all of the credit, 100%. Because as we saw, when Josh Allen, who's whatever he is, and he's at an easy 240, tried to do the same thing, it failed miserably against a prepared defense. But against Philadelphia, the same defense had nothing for him against the same, quote, tush push. Now, granted, Josh Allen was more like he dove over the top. So my point there is one group dedicated themselves to perfecting it. The other group did not. Philly, therefore, should get a lot of credit. But what? Think about this. Think about how things pivot in success and in the sports world and somebody's career. If they don't develop the tush push to perfection and unique levels, does Jalen Hurts get paid? Like, we still consider him to be at most an opportunistic passer who's a good runner. You know who else was that? Vince Young. Vince Young was an opportunistic passer with a decent arm who, when the defense broke down a little bit because it looked like he might break out, he would opportunistically pass. And he could get it there, right? What became of his NFL career? Nada. And even for Jalen Hurts himself, what came of it? What would become of his career if the tush push wasn't so committed to? Take out the tush push successes on important third and shorts and fourth and shorts. A, they probably punt. How many times did their entire ploy during an important drive change because they go, we got four downs. All we're trying to do is get to fourth and one or less. Now, I know that, granted, you could say the same thing. If you become a fourth down team, then that's its own trick, and people still need to deal with it. But you can be a passing fourth and one team. We usually go for a fourth. But even that's unusual. That's non-standard. So where is Jalen Hurts without those fourth and shorts to extend an important drive? The tush push plays. I say he's not where he got to. But he's a great professional. You want him on your team. You love his story. You know who else is a great professional? Dak Prescott. But Dak Prescott, he's a professional. You want him in your locker room. He's competent. Does he win you anything in a standard offense? Do you really think he's ever going to win anything? No. Who else is a great professional who has some statistical success? Who, as far as anybody's heard, is a great teammate and a great leader? Derek Carr. Period, plain and simple. In a fairly standard offense, good numbers, never any type of real results, nor did anybody ever really think that he was going to get to the promised land. So, where I put professionals or somewhat competent in passing is about where I put Jalen Hurts without Philly in particular. Now, that's not trying to take away from Jalen Hurts. He's won a Super Bowl and been in two. It's as much as anything just trying to understand the situation and how unique and interesting it is, and how an organization can maximize their situation. It's again such an emphasis on Philadelphia. Like, you know what? The mastermind behind, you know, we can really go places with this. And not, it could be gimmicky. We could do it sometimes, but we're not really committed to it. That's some good stuff right there, man. If Jalen Hurts was my quarterback, to be clear, if I was a Philly fan, I'd be, that's my dude for life. Right? You'd be like, you take your Burrow and, you know, struggling with 400 yards in a 10-7 season, I'll take my Jalen Hurts, bro. I like my chances. I'd be like, yeah, you take your Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and all that noise. I'll keep my Jalen Hurts, especially, of course, after this last year, I'd say that if I was a Philly fan. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You like the guy, but, you know, I suppose Tampa also liked Trent Dilfer. They had enough, right? It was also a ferocious defense that the Kansas City Chiefs, suspiciously for one game, decided not to even break the glass on their tackle that they brought in for free agency to help if necessary, if the guard they put as tackle couldn't block. But nonetheless, you would say that regardless of how it happened, then sure, Jalen Hurts also had a lot of help over on the defense. But nonetheless, you'd say, well, even if he didn't, it was a blowout. It's not like it was even close. So, and he had big explosive plays. So, Jalen Hurts, I think, is such an interesting case study. And to add to that, you know, I would say Derek Carr, Derek Carr couldn't be the Philly guy. But the analogy is just, if in this situation, obviously Derek Carr couldn't step in and do the same thing Jalen Hurts did. I'm just saying as to inherent levels and capabilities in a standard offense, at best, Jalen Hurts is in that category if he's not in the situation that molds to him and that perfects his talent. And I'll even go worse, and I get Philly fans really mad at me. Here's a way to comp. Who could step in and do the same thing? Don't worry, I'll comp against my Mahomes, my Mahomie as well, so you can see I'm not just trying to be disrespectful. But if you have an organization that's that good at going, we're going to commit to things that other people don't want to commit to. Yeah, we'll go an opportunistic passing game. Our guy's a running threat. Yeah, we'll go a tush-push. Our guy is super strong. You know? What if... Have you heard of a quarterback who's kind of more like a fullback? He's kind of more like a small tight end named Justin Fields. Had Justin Fields been in that great building with that great culture, great locker room, and great ingenuity, is it possible? I know he's had less time in the league, but as he's grown up and been around those professions and got to professionals and got to take that as an example, that Justin Fields could be the tush-push quarterback. Now, what do I think Justin Fields is going to do in the league? Nothing! Unless he still has some time after Jalen Hurts decides to retire from Philly. But otherwise, I think Jalen Hurts is going to do nothing, because no other team is going to commit to the tush push that hard. It's probably going to be outlawed in a year anyway. But had Justin Fields jumped into Jalen Hurts' uniform for the last 4 years, and in that locker room and in that culture, and maybe this isn't so much as a hit on Jalen, but just for what it's worth, I think Philly can win the Super Bowl with Justin Fields. There are a lot of variabilities. Is he as professional? I don't know. I don't know that he is. I do know that he's got a better arm than Jalen. And I know he's just athletic. If his legs aren't just as strong, he's still a very strong dude. Like, he's popping around an easy 230. He's a strong, strong dude. So that's not to say that Jalen Hurts is Justin Fields souped up due to the organization, but it is an interesting comp, isn't it? And it would be that if you're fighting for Justin Fields, or if you're the fans of, where the hell is he now? Wherever he is. They're going to say, well, what about Jalen Hurts? There's a hope springs eternal. Opportunistic, great runner, really strong legs, professional guy, great arm. And if you think that's just take a shot at Jalen Hurts, well, really, we can talk about, people have talked about it, but this is kind of the direct comp, just to show that I'm being honest. What's the comp for Mahomes? And it would be, if you had a straight swap, I think, again, kind of the same thing, because one guy in the league just a little longer. For Mahomes, what if Burrow was with the Chiefs, got that culture, got that coaching, had that defense, and Patrick was with Cincinnati? Is it the Mahomes era now? No. Now, it might be the Burrow/Allen/Mahomes era, maybe, but it is not the Mahomes era. It isn't. If Patrick goes to Cincinnati, it's not the Mahomes era. Now, how well would he do there? You know, you saw what his instincts were in his first year before Andy decided to pull back until the defense was more important than your first ballot Hall of Fame era level quarterback. You know, you saw those numbers. Well, what do we see with Burrow? Numbers, baby. Numbers. So those numbers we saw with Patrick would have been give or take the way Burrow is if Patrick was over in Cincinnati with the same coaching, with them pushing, we got to win with you, bro. Right? I mean, there's no reason to think it wouldn't be. Remember, 2 years ago, before dipshit Nagy came back, he was back. Mahomes had the most yardage from scrimmage ever before Nagy came in, and now he looks like a mediocre quarterback in regards to production. And Andy's too stupid to override him. Yeah, you can see I'm a real Chiefs fan because I'm a big Chiefs critic. Andy's too stupid to override him and say, maybe we should be the dominant unit on this team. Maybe we shouldn't have to rely on defense. So that would be the comp. If Burrow is over with the Chiefs, so this is just to show again how important the organization is and how it can make a difference between someone who's pretty acclaimed and someone who's either not as acclaimed or not acclaimed. And it's true, right? If Burrow had gone, let's say it was, you know, same year draft, somehow they're swapped out. Let's say Burrow was drafted in the same year, so he's had the number of years underneath him. And Andy has him. You know, think Andy would have liked him? Burrow seems to be pretty professional. You don't think Andy could have done something with him? Now, would he have gone to however many Super Bowls in a row? Don't know about that. But he would have done well, right? Burrow would have won 1 to 2 to three Super Bowls. Mahomes would have won. Maybe he would have gotten to that one that Burrow screws up in the parallel here, where he loses head-to-head. Burrow loses head-to-head as a Chief to Bengal Mahomes. Can't believe I just said that as a Chiefs fan. I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat tonight. And then, you know, Cincinnati Mahomes goes on to win in the Super Bowl because he's got that, clutch gene as long as it's not a blowout. But that's how important it is, right? And I say that just to emphasize, I say it, you know, just not to seem like I'm piling on about, you know, Mahomes is so great, but to show, you know, to be fair and show that fairness as I also evaluate Hurts and say, and also not just evaluate Hurts in that way, but to, like I said, emphasize how important little moments and specifics are. And they really, really are, right? Like, just that small distinction of if Hurts goes to Philly and then they believe in him enough for him to stay, right? That they don't have a quarterback in the meantime, that they decide, no, we got to keep 3 to 5 years. He'll never be anything. I mean, really, Jalen Hurts was this close to being Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields' story is not written, but it's getting written, right? Jalen got that chance to continue to develop early on a great team. And again, that flop. What if Justin Fields, I know the draft years are far different, but that type of talent, that type of skill level got plopped into, name Justin Fields, but, and the stories, the career length was the same. Could he not potentially, in that great organization, be the Tush Bush quarterback who's gone twice and won once? Interesting, right? By the way, just to finish up, I do think the Tush Push is gimmicky. I think it should go. And I don't think that's just me. But I guess I'd be okay if it didn't, but I'll be happy to see it go. You know, on the one hand, you know, remember, speaking of unfair rules changes, you know, they changed the rules due to Wilt Chamberlain. Off the top of my head, I'm not remembering, but they definitely changed that. So you think, well, you can't stop it. I can tell you that I've heard offensive linemen say, yeah, it's pretty sucky to be underneath here. Like, there's nothing you can do. You are now beneath, it's just pure chaos. So I don't think they've shown the safety issues yet. They've argued it. But you could argue the straight total horsepower on a small number of people. You know, like, how many people do you want to stack up here? So to me, it's more like how they would deal with it is like maximum amount of spacing when it's not downfield. I don't know. You know, how many people can block in a small area on purpose right along the line? I have no idea. I don't know. I just as soon see it go, but I can't really verbalize, articulate my argument as to why that's fair, as opposed to, sorry, too bad your guy can't do this. But again, then you go unique skill set, and a team that commits to the unique skill set and or fairly rare skill set plus committing to good technique and practicing it. The Bills didn't practice it. They sucked at it. And the Chiefs stopped it a lot when the Bills version, and then could not stop it at all in the Super Bowl. Totally unwatchable Super Bowl. You can guess that I tuned out. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm like, I think I tuned out. I probably tuned out just before halftime and then just looked real quick. No closer. There was no reason. The Chiefs weren't adjusting. Like I said, the suspicious part, a story for another day. But to say that in my years of watching Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid teams, I had specifically observed that this is a team that adjusts the best. And then to see them not adjust at all, there's your teaser on suspiciousness.
I ain't saying it's a conspiracy. What I am saying is,
why the hell didn't you adjust? When you are pulling out really, really close wins in a 15-2 season, like historically so, it is mostly because you adjusted from game to game, drive to drive, half to half. And in the Super Bowl, you cannot. In the two Super Bowls you lose, you cannot. When the game is close, Patrick can make it closer and pull it out. And in the two games where you just don't adjust at all, like, oh, I don't know, it's only been around 40 years. How about a game where a strategy where, oh, you want to blitz me? Boom, quick pass. Yeah, it may not be for much, but neither are running plays, you know? And also, I quick passed to where you left. So you want to blitz me? I know you can say they brought pressure without blitzes. And I would say that is true. And they also did not adjust by putting Tooney back inside, which is a strength, which is guard, which would then stop and slow down interior pressure. And then putting Humphreys back to the tackle position, the guy they specifically got in case they needed to break glass in case of emergency. And they didn't either. So, but that's another story for another day. That's my exploration into the interesting topic of what is Jalen Hurts and what could he have been and the significance of organization and the significance of small decision making. Like, we should do this tush push and burrow tackle technique. Burrow as in tunnel, not the Cincinnati quarterback. Not that. Burrow couldn't do that. He ain't good enough.